Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, a show where we discuss trends, marketing, pop culture, and tackling the ever-evolving challenge of balancing brand and demand. Because at the end of the day, everything is an ad. I am Luz Corona, Adweek Community Editor, coming to you live at Commerce Week from the podcast studio presented by OMD. Today, we are joined by OMD's Chief Investment Officer, Kelly Metz, and OMD's Chief Intelligence Officer, Joanna O'Connell. Ladies, how are you?
Grand.
Feeling very chiefy, because there are a lot of chiefs
super
on this
chiefy.
Couch.
Super chiefy. And that is not a laugh track, by the way, for our listeners. We have a live audience here today. The room is packed. There are people standing in the back. I am not lying, right, ladies?
Standing room only.
Yep. So this should be a good conversation, but thank you so much for joining us today. So brand versus demand, this is the theme, but this has been a hot topic for a while. And I mentioned to you ladies on our prep call last month, we had at our Outlook session, we had a whole session on brand versus performance marketing, right? And we had Melissa Thalberg on there, and she pointed out to us, it's not a versus situation, it's a brand and performance marketing thing, brand and demand.
Thank you for saying that, because I wanted to correct you, but it seemed rude.
Right?
I like that
no,
better.
It's good. It's okay.
It's about balancing them.
Yes.
It's about balancing them.
Yeah. And you know, and everyone in the room agreed, because it's a misconception that I think we're finally wrapping our heads around, that it doesn't have to be a versus thing. But Kelly, I wanted to start with you. How often do you run into clients that are challenged with figuring out how to balance brand and demand efforts?
I would say this is the number one topic that we discuss with our clients today, because it's a real challenge. If you look at what's happened in media in particular over the past decade, we've been moving further and further down the funnel, largely because advertising technology has pushed us there. I mean, if we're honest, I call it the tyranny of the pixel. We're really so focused on what Google Analytics will be telling us and what lower funnel metrics are, because they're easy to see, they're quick, the KPIs are there and available. But I was telling Joanna, we had a client recently who literally couldn't handle any more demand. So they shut off all of their lower funnel tactics, reinvested the money in brand, and they got more conversions.
Oh, no.
So you, when you really think about what we're doing here as marketers, we have to be very thoughtful about the balance that Joanna was talking about. And that's literally the hottest topic with our clients right now, because, again, it starts with how you think about your business, how you've budgeted your business as a marketer. And these budgets currently sit in silos. It's siloed to the point where brand has their dollars, they're going to spend their dollars. Performance has their dollars, they're going to spend their dollars. And never the two shall meet. They don't share. Well, we've got to break that. We've got to actually create fluidity between these two groups, because they both complement each other. And depending on what your need is in the business at a given point in time, you're going to overinvest here and underinvest here. But that pendulum has to and will absolutely swing back.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content, so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
Gotcha. And I'm going to use our favorite phrase, like, we have to break down those silos, right, and work together. Now, you just mentioned a reason or also that happened and then that actually increased demand. What are some other common reasons that, you know, marketers have a challenge of doing this?
Well, it comes down to, and we, again, we're discussing this, it comes down to quarterly earnings and what Wall Street does to your business in terms of expectations. And we have to, and I actually think I'm going to turn this back over to Joanna, because she's got a really strong point of view about how the CMO and CFO need to interact.
Totally. Before we even get there, I think, you know, what Kelly is talking about is the practical reality of how organizations were built. But it's not the practical reality of how consumers behave, right? I mean, the purchase life cycle for a consumer could be 10 years. It could be 5 seconds. You see it on social media, you buy it, you become a loyalist the first time you use it. So we also really need to reorient ourselves around consumers, which sounds so obvious, like so glaringly obvious. And yet it is not, I think, how many organizations are structured, how they incentivize their employees, how they behave, right? So now back to kind of where Kelly was leading us, the CMO and the CFO, there is a really, I think can be a really strong disconnect between the things that a CFO cares about. Need to answer to Wall Street. They are responsible really for the sort of financial health of the business and building businesses that are sustainable and that grow over time. So is the CMO, really. CMOs should be engines of business growth, but they don't necessarily move together. They don't necessarily use the same words to mean the same things. Marketing organizations aren't always necessarily trained in how to think about the fundamentals of the business, even if the CMO is. And so closing that gap between a CMO and a CFO, I think can really go a long way. And I promise, I know this is a challenge because I've spoken to lots of CMOs about this and some CFOs about this. They want to be better partners, but it really takes, I think, an investment in understanding that their relationship is really interwoven.
Gotcha. And what are some of the, like, are there any takeaways or any things that you've seen work in improving that relationship and kind of minimizing that gap between the CFO and the CMO?
So one I mentioned, which is there is a real language problem. So it might be that someone in the marketing department uses the word profit and the CFO is like, I don't think that means what you think it means.
Gotcha.
Right. And so it might simply be just a misunderstanding or a difference in how a given term is used. Like, what do we mean when we say customer lifetime value? What do we mean when we say incremental ROI? Like, these are words that should have more clear meanings, but don't necessarily. And so you may have a marketing team that feels like, I'm doing exactly what I am supposed to do to push this business forward. Look at my ROI. And the CFO is like, that's actually not what I care about or what I need you to do. And then that can lead to budgets getting cut or reallocated to things that are more sort of clearly aligned to something like business performance. That does happen. And so the language thing is a big one. I think another thing is getting people with financial roles and responsibilities more embedded in marketing organizations or creating more tight partnerships between people sort of at a little bit of a lower level as well, not just CMO and CFO, so that those conversations can happen more regularly, the sort of conversation around finance, the conversation around marketing, and how those things kind of need to come together. Those are a couple. The short and long-term thing is really the big one. And when we think about this conversation around balancing brand and demand, I think in part it is fundamentally about how brands think about operating short-term and meeting short-term needs, and how they think about the longer term horizon of growing their businesses. Because again, fundamentally, that is what a business needs to do. It needs to grow and hopefully in a sustainable way over time.
Right. And you know, it's all about that balancing act, right? Juggling the short term goals and the long term goals. What is the best, you know, based on what you both have seen, what is the best way to approach that? Like for the marketer that's like, we need to address this right now, but we also need to be thinking 5 years down the road. What is the best way?
Well, I think the language and the framework in which you operate, really, you have to get the CFO buy-in on your long-term thinking. And how do you do that? Well, you have to demonstrate exactly what the impact's going to be or anticipated impact's going to be short-term in favor of a better long-term outcome. And the way we've worked with clients to do that is around bringing the financial component in early so we understand what is there from a media authorization, why it is there, that the financial team has signed off on how we're going to be held accountable to that spend. And that's really a tactical way to get finance involved, but getting them involved in the conversation of why the dollars, how, and then the metric that we're all going to be aligned to determine the success of that expenditure, it goes a long way to getting them on board. And it also helps educate them as to how they should be speaking to this, to the street, about their investments and how they're investing in brand growth and they expect to see a return, not in the next quarter, but 2 years from now. I mean, mm-hmm. It really is going to change the way they talk about their business, which is why that relationship is so key. Marketing and finance really, really, really have to come together to make these improvements, honestly, or they're still going to be in the ping pong of cut slash bad performance. I mean, it's a really dangerous game that we're living in unless we can get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to add?
What she said. Okay. No. I was just thinking, you know, part of that too is appreciating that businesses sometimes need to do things like grow very quickly in a given moment in time. And so again, if you're speaking the language of finance and finance is sort of understanding the how marketing is a contributor to growth, those decisions can be made kind of more thoughtfully and intelligently. Like, we're doing this as a purposeful exercise for a here and now need. But by the way, how do we think about, you know, where we project we want to be in 3 years and invest accordingly? In practical terms, that's hard. I just want to be clear. I mean, I know I'm making it sound like it's easy, but it's hard. So it really does come down in part beyond the conversation around why these things are important and how you sort of get partnered with your CFO in the metrics that you choose. And in the measurement frameworks that you build, right? So we've had a really bad habit in digital advertising of picking dumb proxy metrics that don't necessarily mean anything when it comes to, you know, what matters to
a business. I love a site visit. They're the best.
I was going to say, can you tell us? Like, can you?
I think even better is the CPC, my friend.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, so good. What about a view?
What is your click-through rate?
Isn't a view a good thing?
I know.
See, I feel like I should just leave because you guys can carry this conversation. This is what I'm saying.
We think about this a lot. Yeah. I think one of the things that maybe doesn't happen enough and where we would encourage clients to go, and I know we do, is to put rigor around understanding the relationship between the proxy metrics that you use in the here and now, and we as agency people use to make the most of our brand's investments, and how those translate to some kind of longer-term business metric. So can you find a correlation between the proxy metric and the thing that matters to the business? Listen, ideally, you'd see causation. You'd set up really clean experiments to be able to understand this thing that we call incrementality, which literally just means, did this action I performed, serving these ads, cause this action that the consumer took, right? So again, correlation is great, causation is even better, but even doing that exercise of finding those links, looking more longitudinally, I think we would say needs to happen more and is really critical.
Yeah, definitely. I think the needing to happen more is the key piece of this. We in our day-to-day activities, honestly, and this is across the spectrum, get mired in a click, a view, reach and frequency. And historically, we have to remember that these metrics were created because years ago, they were considered leading indicators of performance. If you look at reach and frequency and why we care about it, it's because back in the day, used to buy a bunch of reach and frequency in television and sales magically increased and it performed. There was correlation. There was confidence in that correlation. We kind of broke a lot of the ecosystem and now we've got to rebuild it, and we've got to rebuild it in a very smart way. And it has to be customized to the brand.
Totally.
Truly. I mean, there's no one size fits all here. If you look at leading indicators for any given business, you could say they're benchmarks per category, and that's great. But really, it's about getting the teams together and focusing on the brand and what's going to drive the result for the brand and getting their actual sales data involved in the equation. Because, I mean, everyone in this industry loves to talk about outcomes. But I think they use the word improperly in many cases.
It's an interesting thing. Words like outcomes, words like everything is performance, I think we just need to be careful that it doesn't mean that we default to the easy to measure. Or we sort of default to short-term thinking. It really needs to be about when we say everything is about performance, it's about being sophisticated in the metrics that we choose to understand the impact of something like brand, or even better, the impact of something like brand over a 2 or 3 year time horizon, when it becomes a real business question, right? So outcomes is very similar. So, you know, don't sort of default set to outcome equals I have to optimize to CPA, whatever. It's more like an orientation around what is the thing that creates success for my business, and how am I rigorous in our planning and our activation and our measurement around more sophisticated ways of measuring those things and planning and activating against them.
Yes, and aligning to your true north as the brand.
Definitely.
Because you will definitely have brands, and we work with them every day, where really it is the quarterly earnings. That is the outcome they want. They want to have a better quarterly earnings result. And that's what we focus on from a measurement framework then. I mean, we are looking at short-term wins. We are thinking about how to leverage brand in terms of short-term wins, and how do we introduce brand capabilities into performance mediums. And we're constantly optimizing on that, on how we can leverage iconic components of a given brand in a performance media channel, so that we're trying to drive the greater impact longer term, knowing we have to deliver the short-term results or there is no long-term.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm hearing, I think the through line is on specificity, because it ties into what you were saying earlier about language, like aligning on the language, being specific. So you're also saying that, right? Like when you talk about the metrics that you want to see, what exactly is that metric and defining it, right?
I think specificity is right. I think doing the rigorous work of making sure that the things that you choose are the right things is also really critical. So you could be really specific but pick the wrong things. Right. So you need to be really specific and do the hard work to make sure that they are translating into the things that matter.
Gotcha. And the CMO and CFO need to get coffee together
a lot.
Like a lot.
Yeah, a lot. They need to be very caffeinated.
A lot of coffee.
A lot.
Yeah. And you need like some kind of like babble or something where it's like, when you say profit, what you mean is blah, blah, blah. You know, like, so, yes. The translation happens.
I was going to say, when you were saying language before, I'm like, we need a Duolingo for marketers.
That's right.
Is what we need.
That's
yes.
Right.
Now, you both have mentioned this a little bit about causation and versus correlation. Talk to me a little bit about that. How important is that?
Well, I think the holy grail of marketing is causation, right? We want to believe that every ad we purchase is driving a consumer action. It's not true, but we sure want to believe it. And where we have been enormously successful in recent years is proving a high degree of correlation. Incrementality is so hard to prove because you can never isolate what a consumer is exposed to really know that it was incremental. I mean, for example, if you look at advertising just in one channel, you could prove incrementality. But they probably saw a TV ad and they probably saw an outdoor billboard too. Mm-hmm. Who gets the credit?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of nuance in terms of how you set up the measurement framework, which is why the specificity and what you focus on is so key to the conversation, because you're gonna end up with correlation, but it's your confidence level in that correlation. And if you don't have that confidence level because you haven't done the hard work about what you're trying to achieve, that's disaster. That's where you can drive a brand into the ground.
I mean, think about a brand that over-retargets.
Oh, God.
And sort of retargets itself like into oblivion.
Like opening a wound.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I mean, listen,
me too.
Cap, it needs
for
to be
real.
A law.
I mean, there are many really bad behaviors that have happened in digital advertising.
You mean like buying your own branded terms? Like a lot? A lot of your branded terms? Doing that?
What is she talking about? You know, there's so much that we do that is chasing something that isn't actually probably proven through correlation even, let alone causation, to be a good action, and yet we did it, and we spent millions and millions and millions, not we.
Well, maybe we,
maybe
collectively.
We, at some point.
The collective we.
The collective
in the
we,
industry.
And probably me 20 years ago, you know, when I was early in my digital advertising career, made those kinds of choices because it felt like the right thing, because it looked like the right thing on paper, but we really didn't understand fundamentally how we were driving behavior. We just saw like a basic correlation. We didn't do the rigorous work that Kelly's talking about.
I feel like we're diving a little bit into measurement, which I want to pick your brain about, but something to also take into consideration, something that stuck with me from a session this morning, it was Jenny Rooney's session with someone from Kate Spade, in terms of measurement, like there are those, you can track the online sales, right? You can track, there's a lot of different metrics you can track, but there's also the the metrics you can't track. So say if there's like resale, you know, or like, or someone's buying it, you know, secondhand and they're a loyal Kate Spade customer. So how do you work that into the measurement framework? Like, would you say that's as important or, you know?
I mean, that's the nuance of the conversation with the brand.
Yeah.
Is the resale value of your brand an indicator of your overall brand success? Yes, but do you make any money from that? So what is the key thing you're trying to achieve as a business? And I would argue if it's sales, the resale market, much like the used car market, is an indicator of how viable your brand is over time and the quality of the goods that you are selling, but may not be the right KPI to focus on for your actual business. Yeah. And that's why you have to have these conversations. So it's nuanced and it's never going to be one size fits all. I mean, I would love to have resale value be a component of, you know, brand performance. It would be great, but you're right. The data, the signal that's available to calculate that may not actually be there.
Yeah, it's a blind spot.
I mean, if you think about a really big and important phenomenon right now around retail media, that is essentially brands who have traditionally been disintermediated from the actual sale, like toilet paper on the shelves of a retailer, now being able to partner with retailers who have become media companies to be able to get back into that sort of process of the consumer discovering and shopping and buying and becoming loyal. It creates connection for those brands when they didn't have it before. Long and short, they care about sales and they want to find ways to better understand sales. And so they're going to the places where that data is more readily available, where it hasn't been in the past.
I, in talking about measurement and incorporating those metrics, my last question is, what are some effective ways to build these measurement frameworks?
Ooh, that's a doozy.
no big deal.
Yeah, so it honestly, when we sit down with clients, it starts with what do you have? What's the data available? It starts with their data. It starts with their first party data. What are we working with inside your four walls that we then can connect to the world of media? So it always starts with an understanding of what do you have. And in some cases, clients will literally have absolutely nothing. So then it immediately escalates, well, what's available in the marketplace? What are the third parties that we can leverage? Ooh, that might not look good either. So then you actually look at partnerships and joint business partnerships to look at the second party ecosystem. Who are your partners, like a retail media network or someone else that's going to have data vital to how you calculate your success? And that really is the first step in terms of understanding how you're going to measure success. There's also plenty of third-party tools out there that you can leverage from day one to get a quick read on something like brand performance. Most everyone has bottom-of-the-funnel metrics covered because they all have an analytics something on their website somewhere. Whether that's a good proxy for success, that is to be determined based on the specifics of the brand. I mean, you have brands in CPG, they haven't updated their website in years because nobody goes there. Right. That's site visit's not going to do anything for them, really. It probably was a mistake. Didn't mean to go there, right? If you think about that. So we really have to get to the specifics of the data sets that are going to inform the measurement framework. I'm a bottoms up person. I think Joanna probably has a good perspective on top down. If you were to start with your measurement objective and leading indicator, how you would work it all the way through.
Man. I do think it's really hard, and it would require some real organizational will to try and solve that riddle of understanding how your investments are going to lead to something that is sustained business growth. And that's when you start getting into kind of larger, complicated questions about what drives growth when you are talking about marketing. What is the value of the creative message? How important is organizational design? What about your measurement framework? You know, how do you think about the data that you have? I think that brands certainly should be asking those larger questions. How do we understand for our organization, what does it mean to drive growth through marketing? I mean, I think that's happening, but I wonder if it's happening with as much rigor as we would like.
Yeah,
it's more top down for sure.
Yeah, and what I heard before, so starting with first party data and then going to partnerships, taking a closer look at that. What about social listening? I guess it depends.
Social
right?
listening is hugely valuable. I think where I go to correlation, I have to know who I'm reaching to correlate it to an outcome. And with social listening tools, you really don't. It's an aggregate. You're getting you're getting metrics like mentions and brand sentiment, which are enormously valuable.
But feel directional.
But feel directional, not specific enough to really help facilitate the correlation conversation, which is, I think, where everyone should be trying to get to.
And not to sound, again, super trite, but every brand has a different kind of relationship with its customers and its prospects. Like, the relationship that a bank has with its customers and prospects is going to be different than the relationship with your detergent, right? Your laundry detergent. So I think there's a lot of work also and rigor that should go into how brands and how their consumers want to interact with one another. If you want to have a deep relationship over time with a particular brand, the strategies I think that you would use and the measurement frameworks you put in place would look quite different than if you were not necessarily in the place where you would be serving deeply personalized advertising or really rich experiences that are designed to, you know, educate you on some really complicated product. I think that's part of it.
Wow, you two really know your
deep
stuff.
Deep
let me
thoughts.
Tell you.
Yeah. Deep thoughts up here.
I was going to say thank you so much. Thank you both so much. I feel like I just sat in like a digital marketing 101 class. That was fascinating. And basically, we need to rebuild everything, and there needs to be more team building between CFO and CMO teams.
I mean, yeah, you can boil it down to better communication and aligning first before doing
alignment. Alignment and communication for sure.
We
and
love being
rigor.
Aligned.
And specificity. Any other ones? Those are good ones.
More buzzwords. More buzzwords.
No, but those are good ones.
Those are good
ones.
Real.
Those are actual things that we should care
buzzwords.
About.
Yeah. And acronyms, everything. Thank you both so much, Joanna, Kelly. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining.
Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.